The following is a part of a seminar given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on March 14, 1992 in Sridham, Mayapur. The seminar was on the Chaitanya Leela.
Fallen souls. So thinking in this way, the Lord and Haridas, old Haridas, Haridas, you see those two misdirected souls being born in Brahmin family, they are acting in such a nasty way. These two are going to go to the house of Jamaraj. There's no deliverance for them. At the end of their life, they are going to suffer so many reactions. Now you just consider, you try to find a way, is there any way for these two sinful persons to be delivered? You have promised the Lord. You yourself have told this truth. Let the people of the world see Lord Chaitanya's effect, see His mercy. How Lord Chaitanya will deliver these two fallen souls. Just like the Puranas sing the glories of Ajamil's deliverance, let them see in their very eyes the people of these three worlds, the deliverance of these two sinful persons. So this way, Nityananda and Haridas, they were filled with compassion and they thought in their minds, Haridas told the Lord, listen, my dear sir, whatever is your desire, that's certainly the desire of the Lord. You just tie me the way you would tie any animal. And whatever you want, you do with me. And you just teach me. So Nityananda, he gave him a good embrace. Very softly he told him, the Lord has told us, we have to go to everyone and tell people His order. So let's tell these two the order of Lord Chaitanya. So what if they're drunkards? We have to tell everyone to worship Krishna. This is the Lord's order. Even if they're the most sinful people, so what? It's only our duty to tell everyone to take up this order of Lord Chaitanya. And it's our duty to go to everyone and tell them. So then to tell the Lord's order to these two, Nityananda Haridas, they went over to see Jagai and Madhai. Hare! All the respectful people there said, please, don't go near them! Don't go near them! They're very dangerous. They don't respect sannyasis, they don't know they can kill a Brahmin. They can kill a cow. They can do anything. Don't go to them. They won't respect you. Still, Lord Nityananda and Haridas, they went chanting, Krishna! Krishna! Krishna!
Krishna!
Krishna! They are chanting Krishna, Krishna, and they went on. So then some people wanted to hear what was going to happen, so they kind of went alongside. And there, the Lord Nityananda was calling out, Bolo Krishna Bhojo Krishna Loho Krishna Nam Krishna Mata Krishna Pita Krishna Dhano Pran Tuma Sava Lagiya Krishna Avatar Hano Krishna Bhojo Sava Charo Anachar. So when this means chant Hare Krishna, worship Krishna, take the holy name of Krishna. Krishna's your mother, Krishna's your father, Krishna's your life and soul. The Krishna has come, has taken His appearance in this world for your deliverance. chant the name of Krishna, worship Krishna, give up all your sinful acts. Hearing this call of Nityananda, the two guys, the two drunkards, Jagai Madai, lifted their head. They became very angry. Their eyes became red with anger, seeing the two like sannyasis. They raised their heads, and they started to cry out, Tar, Tar! Catch them! Catch them! And they ran to catch the two. So Nityananda and Haridas, they ran very quickly. Roho, roho! Stop, stop! The two thieves yelled, running after them. So they're running after Nityananda and Haridas, who are running away really quickly, running here and there. The two Prabhus were running in apparently great fear, trying to escape being caught. The people were crying out, I told them not to tell them. I told them not to go to these two. These sannyasis today are really in danger. So, some people are against the devotees, and they always think that the devotees are cheaters. They can't, because they don't believe in bhakti. So they always think that the devotees, they must be having some ulterior motive. So they never accept the devotees at face value that they're actually devotees. So there are many people at this time, they thought, well, now these two are getting what they deserve, because actually they're going around telling everyone to chant Hare Krishna. Who do they think they are anyway? Now Narayan's giving them what they really deserve. But the real brahmanas, they're praying, Krishna, protect them. Rakho Krishna, Rakho Krishna, protect them. So when this happened, it kind of was an acid test. The real Brahmins, the real pious people, they are very much afraid for Haridas Thakur and Nityananda, and those are really envious. They thought, ha ha, now Nityananda is going to get it for waking us and getting us all to chant Hare Krishna. So the two kinds of people, they got revealed by this, separated the chaff from the straw. So the two thieves were running, and the two lords were fleeing. I caught him, they're crying out. But actually they couldn't catch him. Nityananda was saying that today it's only by the mercy of the Lord if we're able to save our lives. And Haridas Thakur said, my Lord, why do you say more? Because of your plan that today, practically speaking, we're at the point of death. That telling the drunkards to the teachings of Krishna, certainly it's proper for us to be killed for our offense. Normally Krishna says don't preach to the envious. In Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter he mentions this. So here they had preached to the envious. So Haridas Thakur was saying, anyway, if we get killed then we deserve it. So the two are laughing. He was saying in a laughing mood. They're laughing and running. And the two Jagai Madai are really running after them. Actually, the two of them were very tired. Still, they had to run to escape from the two drunkards. The two Jagai Madai yelled out, brothers, where are you going to escape? How are you going to get away from Jagai and Madai today? They're calling out, you don't know, here Jagai Madai are here. You just stay for a little minute, turn around, look behind you. But the two lords are running without listening to their words. Rakha Krishna, Govinda Boliya. They say, Krishna, protect us, Krishna, protect us. Oh, Govinda. And Haridas Thakur said, Ori, I can't go any further. I am really old. All this time, Krishna has saved me from death. But today, due to our restless intelligence, I'm going to have to give up my life. Nityananda said, I'm not that restless. You just think how your Lord is anxious, just like on the Lord's order. He told us to go from house to house and ask everyone. Where did he say to leave someone out of his order? Don't say to the thieves, don't say this one, don't say that one. He didn't tell us not to tell anybody. He told us to tell everyone. So if we didn't follow his order, we would be destroyed anyway. So if we follow his order, then there's no By following his order, we got this fruit. If we didn't follow it, you can consider what fruit we would have gotten. Don't ever think any, don't give any fault to our Lord. No, both of them didn't give any fault to the Lord, but they took the fault on themselves. So in this way, the two are running, and the two thieves are running after them. They got to their own Lord's house, and the two drunkards, they're running very quickly after them. Now they ran into one house, and then the two were looking, they couldn't find him. So they start shouting out, but they couldn't locate them anymore. Where did they go? How did they hide? The two were looking here and there. They couldn't find where they went. Then the thieves ran off. So then the two brothers, they embraced each other. They went over to the Vishwambar. There the Lord was sitting just like with his lotus eyes, his whole body beautiful, his whole form completely attractive. Lord of Satadeep. Like this, so much detail was given. How Nityananda, how Haridas Thakur, how merciful they were. Of course, you know how they were delivered. They delivered Jagai Madai eventually. But this was their mood. They go to everyone. And when Nityananda saw someone that was fallen, he thought, let me deliver. Lord Chaitanya, when his servant got misdirected in South India, he went and grabbed him by the Sikha, Krishna Das, and saved him and brought him back. Lord Chaitanya wanted to deliver everyone, especially the most fallen. So you find all of the acharyas are praying to Lord Chaitanya to please give me your mercy because there's no one more fallen than I am. So if we want to get the mercy of the Lord, we need to present ourselves in a very humble way. So the supreme mercy of Lord Chaitanya is explained here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Chaitanya Bhagavat. That even though you chant the name of Krishna so many times, if you commit offenses, you don't get love of Krishna. But Chaitanya and Nityananda don't have this consideration. As soon as you chant their name, you get love of Krishna. Chaitanya Nityananda nahi e sab vichar naame loite prema deno bohe asrudar. So, then now it's time for the procession. Time goes so fast. And there's going to be a special slideshow about Krishna's Leela, about Lord Chaitanya's holy places tonight. And then Manipur dancing. So any question? Yes?
I thought Lord Chaitanya just like Lord Krishna never did Leela. And I had also that when Lord Krishna performed his Leela in Dwarka,
Lord Chaitanya eternally stays in Navadvip Mayapur Dham, manifest or unmanifest. He goes out. He doesn't stay there eternally, but he goes simultaneously. He's outside manifesting some other pastime. I didn't see anywhere written that that was a different Lord Chaitanya, but that Lord Chaitanya does stay here. Even though he leaves, he's also staying here. But I didn't see anywhere specifically mentioned that that's a different form of Lord Chaitanya. But I'm not... Lord Chaitanya's the knowledge is unlimited, so I didn't see that. I don't want to speculate. If we don't see something if specifically mentioned, then just our own logic doesn't reveal the things as they are. Yes?
When you were just saying that if we want the mercy of the Lord, we want to present ourselves in a humble way, it reminds me of something that I heard, that if we don't offer our prayers in the mood of Saranagati, the Lord doesn't hear them. Is that true?
The Lord hears Jaitata Mang Papadyante Thangsadaiva Bajamyaham. According to how we pray, that's how He hears. If you offer in full surrender, then He'll hear in that way. Even if you show a little bit of inclination, the Lord is very merciful. Krishna, if you don't offer Krishna in Saranagati, then He won't reciprocate on a level of pure love. But Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. That's his special quality. If you chant the names of Lord Chaitanya, then immediately you can get a feeling of devotion.
we can get love for Krishna. That's His supreme mercy. Yes?
The devotees, Paratupatuki, they invited Lord Nityananda and Haridasa for renovation, seeing Jagai Mata. They were more interested in giving Krishna consciousness.
No, when Jagai Mata went to beat them, they also have a duty matter to stand there and get killed. It's not our philosophy that if somebody goes to kill you, you should just stand there and get killed. You can run for your life. They tried to give them mercy, but in response, the Jagai Madai wanted to grab them and beat them and kill them. So the two ran. To save those, the poor Dukaduki, they saved those two brothers from committing any more serious offense. It's enough that they are yelling abuses to them. If they catch and beat them, it'll be a greater offense for them. So they are saving them from committing that offense. At the same time, Prabhupada explained that the devotee's body is given to Krishna for his service. So we have to protect the body from being destroyed untimely, so we can continue using it in Krishna's service. Thank you. It's time for the procession now. Nitaranda ki
jai.
Nitai Gaura ki
jai.
Nitananda
jai.
Gauranga
Gauranga.
When Lord Chaitanya lived in Mayapur, then he would often on during the Sankirtan pastimes, he would go to Shantipur and see Advaita Goswami's house there. The Lord, when he took sannyas, then before going to Jagannath Puri, he again was taken to Shantipur. But sometimes the pastimes mentioned in Advaita's house were pastimes that happened at Navadvipa. Like one time, Mother Sachi had committed an offense at the lotus feet of Advaita. That's explained in very short form in Adivida chapter 17, verse 10. Sachi ke prema dhana tabi Advaita milon, Advaita paila visarupa darashama. Thereafter, the Lord delivered love of Krishna to his mother Sachi Deva, Devi, nullifying her offense at the feet of Advaita Acharya. Thus there was a meeting with Advaita Acharya, who later had a vision of the Lord's universal form. So what happened was, when the Lord was on his Mahaprakash and all the devotees had asked, please, you've given love of Godhead to Kola Vichya Sridhar to so many people. So you give her love of Godhead to your mother, Sachi. But then Lord Chaitanya, sitting at the throne of Vishnu in the house of Sri Ras Prabhu, said, my mother has offended the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya. Unless she nullifies this offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, it will not be possible for her to achieve love of Krishna. Hearing this, all the devotees went to bring Advaita Acharya there. While coming to see the Lord, Advaita Acharya was glorifying the characteristics of Mother Sachi Devi. Actually, what happened, Advaita was before Lord Chaitanya. Then everyone requested, Advaita, you please forgive Mother Sachi for her offense. And Advaita said, how can I do that? How can she offend me? She's the greatest devotee. She's such a wonderful devotee. He started to glorify Mother Sachi, all her qualities, all her devotion, until finally he fainted in ecstasy himself. So Advaita Acharya was glorifying the characteristics of Mother Sachi Devi, and thus upon arising, he fell down on the ground in ecstasy. Under the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, Sachi Devi took advantage of the situation to touch Advaita Acharya's lotus feet. That's a secret how to get forgiven for offenses, is you touch someone's feet. Of course, some people say you have to touch both feet. I don't know that Shastra, we have to touch one or both feet, but some people say you get both. I think that here it mentions, touch Advaita Acharya's lotus feet, plural. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much pleased by his mother's action, and he said, now my mother's offense at the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya has been rectified, and she may have love of Krishna without difficulty. By this example, Lord Chaitanya taught everyone that although one may be very much advanced in Krishna consciousness, when offense the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, his advancement will not bear fruit. So after that, Advaita Acharya requested Lord Chaitanya to show the universal form. So many of these pastimes, they actually happen in Navadvipa, Advaita's Navadvipa house. But he also had this house in Shantipur, where we're going to go tomorrow. And many of the pastimes occurred there. One of the interesting points, when you in Shantipur, in the house of Advaita. In one corner, they had excavated and they found a whole lot of Lord Chaitanya, of Advaita's copper cooking vessels and implements. One or two, if they keep on display, I don't know what they did with them, but they show you the place where they found them, and one or two they still have. So this is a very old place. No one questions that that is the place of the Advaita Acharya. Everyone accepts. There's some controversy with other places of different, sometimes. But with that, there's no controversy. Everyone, from whatever group, they all accept that is the place of the Advaita. And that used to be where the Ganges was flowing. Where the Sri Prabhu Vishram Stan is, there's a little house which has a little temple where there's three seats, three asanas, and a picture of Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda and Advaita Acharya there. And when Lord Chaitanya came back from Katwa, after taking sannyas, this is quite well recorded in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that after taking sannyas, Nityananda had told the Brahmin boys, some cowherd voices, Lord Chaitanya asked you where Vrindavan is, of which direction, you point the other direction, you point south. Katwa is north of here, 45 kilometers north. Santipur is 29 kilometers south. So they pointed to Lord Chaitanya the wrong way. And then he went south alongside the Ganges until he reached Santipur. Then Advaita and Nityananda got in a boat and crossed the river from Advaita's house. When Lord Chaitanya saw Advaita, he said, what's Advaita and Nityananda doing in Vrindavan of all places? Then he found that they, hey, wait a minute, they couldn't be in Vrindavan, that means I must not be in Vrindavan. They looked around and came out of his ecstasy, and then he realized he was in Shantipur. And he said, how did this happen? Then he was taken over the river and they sat down and had prasadam, which was pretty well documented again in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was the time when Nityananda threw prasad on Advaita, and Advaita started dancing in ecstasy and chastising Nityananda. Nityananda calling him, you're just a smarta, you're rule conscious. So many different intimate pastimes were there. So that all happened at the place of Shantipur. So right by the side of Nityananda's house, see that right this house is the old Ganges. You'll see that by the three Prabhu's Vishram Stan, there's a very small, there's an indentation. It's like now kind of a, you can tell it used to be a riverbed. Another pastime that happened in Shantipur was for the pastime of that there he worshipped the Shaligram Shila, he worshipped the Ganges water with Tulasi, Manjaris, with loud prayers and fasting. At Shantipur he was praying, just there by the side of the Ganges, for the coming of Lord Chaitanya. Nearby Shantipur there's a place called Fulia, that's where Haridas Thakur lived, in a little man-made cave, guha. He was also praying for the advent of the Lord. So in Shantipur, that pastime also occurred. Advaita was loudly crying for Krishna to come. He said that, my name is Advaita, the Lord. I'm not different from the Lord. Acharya is not to be representative or non-different. So what is the use if I can't bring the Lord down and get him to come here? It's beyond my capacity to save these fallen souls. The Lord Himself has to come. So that's another pastime that happened in Shantipur. Another pastime was the Advaita would every year have a festival for the disappearance of his father that was called Shraddh ceremony. And it was customary on those days to cook a very big feast and offer it to Vishnu. So he invited so many Brahmins of Shantipur, and he also invited Haridas Thakur. So the remnants of the Vishnu Prasad is given to the Brahmanas, and this benefit of feeding the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas will go to his father. So the first Prasad, who to give it to? So he said, I propose to give this to Haridas Thakur. The other Brahmanas, they felt offended. They thought that Haridas Thakur is born in the Muhammadan family. How can he get the first prasad of the Srat should go to a Brahmana, not to Haridas Thakur? But Advaita says he's the greatest Brahmana, he's a pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava has all the qualities of a Brahmana and more. He's a real Brahmana, he should get. But the others are not accepting Advaita Acharya's proposal willingly. So then Advaita said, all right, if real Brahmana is able to ignite fire by the force of his mantras, so he took some wood and he gave to each of the Brahmanas, you ignite this by your mantras, no matches, no, you know, flint and cotton, or you just, by mantra you ignite it through your breath, then we'll see how powerful a Brahman you are. So he took to each of them, and they're blowing and saying mantras, but there's no spark, there's no smoke, nothing happened. Then finally when he came around to Haridas Thakur, after going to each and every one of the Brahmanas, then presented before Haridas Thakur by his Brahma page, chanting the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, the firewood caught on fire, and then all the Brahmanas, they had nothing to say after that. So then the first offering was given to Haridas Thakur at Shantipur. So, like this, Lord Chaitanya's meeting with Mother Sachi happened in Shantipur after taking sannyas. And then Madhavendra Puri, when he was traveling through the whole of India, he was going actually, you know, he was going from Vrindavan down to Puri to get sandalwood, chandan, for his Gopal deity, that deity of Krishna that was actually Nanda Natji, now known as Natji, because he was shifted to Natdwara. But originally he was found in Vrindavan. So he was in the bushes for a very long time and he was very hot. So he told Madhavendra Puri, I need sandalwood to cool me down. And Vrindavan was very far away from any source of sandalwood. So he was going, he had to go all the way to South India, but in Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, they had sandalwood forests. But that sandalwood is brought up to Jagannath Puri. So anyway, he was going down the Ganges. So Madhavendra Puri, on his way, he found that he would go on the main path, all the common people would come and touch his feet and ask him for material blessings. So there was nobody that was asking him anything about devotional service. And if he goes with the sannyasis, then the sannyasis are all mayavadis at that time. So they're only talking about Brahma Gyan. So he was found there also very dry. There's no other Vaishnava sannyas. He was going with Tridandi and with the Tilak, Vaishnava Tilak. And so he went off the beaten path. He was just going by the side of the Ganges. And Advaita Acharya's house was just right on the Ganges side, as you'll see tomorrow. So when he went into, he just happened to kind of almost by Krishna's arrangement, just Dvaita, he went into the ashram of Advaita. And Advaita was seated there in his ashram, and he is a Vishnu Tila, he's a Vaishnava, he's doing his worship and chanting, and here comes the sannyasi, Vaishnava, Tridandi, Vaishnava Tila, and Advaita is like shocked, he's never even seen a Vaishnava sannyasi, just like kind of a, you know, in those days they were only in very, very rare, you couldn't see much of them. They were mainly in South India, Udupi, and in a few places in Srirangam. Very rare to find Vaishnava sannyasi in North India at that time. The whole place was swamped with Shankaracharya sannyasi. So somehow, Madhavendra Puri came right in the house of Advaita. Advaita stood up and made his obeisances and he said, you know, then they found that he was a Vaishnava. I gave him a seat and worshipped him and offered him, please take some prasadam. Our Shaligram and our deity. And Madhavendra Puri, he had gone so far, he couldn't even find a single Vaishnava. Everyone was a Smarta or a Mayavadi. And here he finds actual, you know, Advaita Acharya, greatest Vaishnava Pandit, Brahmin. So they got into discussing Krishna Katha and they became very ecstatic. And Advaita Acharya served Madhavendra Puri and he got tremendous faith. immediately recognized that Madhavendrapuri was a completely self-realized soul. He was Mahabhagavat. Of course, Advaita Acharya, he had a vision. I mean, he knew he could be a Mahavishnu incarnation. He knows who's who. You see, it may not be that our new bhaktas will be able one day to recognize who's a pure devotee or not, but Advaita Acharya, he could, in the very first day, first meeting, he could immediately recognize the glories of Madhavendrapuri. So, although he had been following the Vaishnava tradition, he needed to take a diksha. There were so few Vaishnava gurus that he didn't have a sadguru. He didn't take an initiating guru up to that point. He had taken mantra and Brahminical mantras. He was practicing Vaishnava dharma. He hadn't taken full Pancharatric initiation. So he requested Madhavendrapuri to give an initiation. And Madhavendrapuri, being very satisfied with Advaita Gosai, gave him initiation. So that's how Advaita became initiated by Madhavendrapuri. Then Madhavendrapuri continued on southward and eventually went to Jagannath Puri, and of course on the way he had the pastimes in Remuna with Tirthur Gopinath and so on. So when Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri from Shantipur, then after 10 years he came back to Bengal. Remember, he was going to Vrindavan, and the first time he went via Bengal, and he got up to Kanai Natashala, meeting Rupa Sanatan in Ramkeri, and on the way, he stopped in Shantipur and met Advaita Gosami. So that just happened that the day he went there was the day of Madhavendrapuri's disappearance. And he saw the entire festival being arranged by Advaita Gosai. And that's the festival where Lord Chaitanya was so impressed by the arrangements of Advaita Goswami, he gave a special blessing to that festival that on this Tithi, on this Dadasi Tithi, this 12th day of the month of Govinda, in the Krishna, in the Sukla Paksha, the rising moon, the Gaur Paksha, that means the rising moon, 12th day Dwadasi, after the Mm-hmm. Anyone who comes here and takes a prasad at Advaita's house, at Advaita's this ashram, this place in Shantipur, they will get love for Govinda. So, I don't know whether I should tell her whole pastime today or tomorrow, because tomorrow anyway they'll have me repeat it. But all the descriptions. The idea is that Advaita Goswami, yeah, I mean, it's such a wonderful arrangement of the disappearance festival for Madhavendrapuri. I mean, it was an amazing arrangement, and so many devotees were engaged in the festival that it occupied everyone. So Lord Chaitanya, he gave that special blessing. And there's very few places in the world you can just go and take prasad and get a blessing like that. So when the head priest of that temple, the Sevite, the one who's in charge of the system in India, that deities, when they're established, they have a sevite. That means a trustee who's responsible for the service of the deity. That's called a devata, or a deity's estate. It's like a minor child has an adult who manages that the child happens to have a trustee, a trust in their name. Then there's some adults who manage that trust on behalf of the child until he becomes a major. So legally in India it's set up like that deities, since they can't act on their own behalf, I mean, they normally don't, so they, devotees, act on their behalf and protect the interest of the deity. So sometimes that's done by a trustee board or a society, or sometimes it's done by a hereditary family, line. So in this case, Advaita Sripad, Advaita's deity, is being handed down through a line of hereditary line, and the 13th generation from Lord Advaita is the Santi Saka Goswami. So he expressed to ISKCON that every year, years ago, some groups used to come here and distribute prasad on this day, but now it's stopped. So ISKCON is now the leading Vaishnava preaching organization in the world, and this is a special occasion where you can get love of Godhead just by taking prasadam. Lord Chaitanya obviously wanted prasad to be distributed on this occasion, otherwise he wouldn't have said that. So why don't you take it up. Actually, originally he told me, for one day you'll be the Sevak. I'll give you the key, it's your temple for the whole day. But then it never really came out like that, because other groups, I don't know, we couldn't really arrange it like that. Neither our devotees went to get the key in the morning, nor did it happen. Maybe we can push it like that if we get some devotees willing to stay there for the whole day and do all the pujas. But what they do is let us offer the bhoga, advaita, and distribute the prasadam. And now the whole municipal government has taken up the program, and they're inviting us to build an ashram in Shantipur. And they want to show land that they are willing to give us for this purpose. And their mayor and the local legislative assembly member, he's also going to be coming tomorrow, and he feels that ISKCON should do something in Shantipur. Shanti Saka Goswami showed me letters many years ago from Prabhupada. Prabhupada wrote a handwritten letters to him. At that time, Prabhupada, initially we couldn't get any land in Mayapur. We didn't get land until 1971. So they weren't, his godbrothers were not helping Prabhupada to get land in Mayapur. So at one point Prabhupada thought, let me make my world headquarters in Shantipur, which is like Mathura of Krishna's pastime, of Chaitanya's pastime. So he actually wrote a letter to Shanti Shekhar Goswami. I saw two, three letters, I forget, just discussing whether it would be possible to have an international guest house and a temple there. And Shanti Shekhar Goswami is coming in a line, Vaishnavas, who was had a very great preacher, who was like a mystic yogi, that he was in line of Advaita for a while. He practiced mystic yoga, and then he came back again to Vaishnavism. So he predicted that in one day the world will become Madranga Moy. That was his prediction. The whole world will be so filled with Madrangas that everywhere you look there will be Madrangas. It will be Madranga Moy. There will be so many Madrangas playing in all parts of the world. So on that basis, his particular line accepts that there should be worldwide Vaishnavas, and there should be received. Some of the smartas, what we call very strict Brahmanas, they have hesitation to non-Brahmanas doing puja, even if they're Vaishnavas. But Shanti Shaka and his line, they do accept that Vaishnava can become a Brahmana, or is a Brahmana, and that the world will become preached by Chaitanya, covered, filmed by Lord Chaitanya's message. He, although he's got a very severe rheumatism and arthritis, his hands are quite crippled up, but he's got a nice heart, and he's always welcomes the devotees very heartily, and he's very enlivened by the fact that we go there every year for this program. So the Shantipur, you can see it's had a really great history. There are many different pastimes that went on there. And as I mentioned, Shantipur also is famous for two things: very fine cloth, and for offending Vaishnavas. Now, one of the best clothes of India are made in Shantipur. They have very fine handlooms. In fact, during the British time, they'd make such fine handloom cloth, the Prabhupada explained that you could spread it over the grass in the night, and in the morning, when the dew would fall, you couldn't see where the cloth was. It looked just like dew on the top of the grass. So you could put that whole cloth through a ring. You take a little ring, that is Prabhupada's ring, you put the whole cloth through a ring, and then it would come out and be a big dhoti. So it's very fine cloth, very fine weave, finer than what the machines could do in those days. So the British were trying to introduce their mill cloth and wanted India to buy their industrial products. But the Shantipur cloth was so fine that people would prefer the Shantipur cloth over the British. So apparently one of the British lords, he went around and cut all the thumbs off the weavers in Shantipur. So that way they couldn't make the fine cloth, because it required, you know, your thumbs. Without thumbs, you can't do much. So there were some atrocities that went on, but in the British time, still they're making quite fine cloth, but not that heritage of this type of dew cloth is maybe lost. But they still make really good cloth. For some reason or another, there are some people in Shantipur that tend to offend Vaishnavas. It's from the time immemorial. It's like there was Kamsas and Mathura, and there's a few offenders in Shantipur. But there are many, many nice devotees also. It's not that everybody's an offender, but there are, you might find a few nasty people. You might find. By Krishna's mercy, maybe they don't come tomorrow. But that type of tradition was there. So Advaita was very merciful. He went there, and actually he established Vaishnavism, and he preached to these people. So although they were a little offensive by nature, he preached to them and he brought them around. So we're also going to Shantipur, and people are inviting us with open arms, trying to preach to these people to bring them closer to Lord Chaitanya. Actually, they very much identified with Lord Chaitanya because Advaita was there. But Kali Yuga, many people are covered up. The actual Shaligram that Advaita worshipped is in another temple in the town. And where we're going tomorrow is the actual house of Advaita by the side of the old Ganges, which today is in a village just in the outskirts of the town. The old Ganges course, on the other side of what used to be the Ganges, is the end of the municipal limits. And where this temple is just on the other side of the river. So, that's just a kind of an overview of Shantipur pastimes. So you can know something about the glories of Shantipur. So we're going there tomorrow. Any questions? Yes?
Tomorrow is, tomorrow's the 12th day, which is the month of
Govinda. Govinda. Yes. That's why we're going there tomorrow. So you can all get a little better. And not only that, but the devotees, you see what happens for those that weren't here in previous years, especially like Kavi Chandra Maharaj and a number of the devotees. You see, he's relaxing now, but actually, tomorrow he'll be there with buckets in his hand and kishri up to his knees. And a lot of the devotees, they really get into the mood of giving out the mercy. You'll look and you come there, you'll see, you know, a few hundred people, and you'll see these or mango orchards, and you wonder, you know, where are the people? We'll sit down and start talking about the glories of Shantipur pastime and Advaita Gosai. And then around noon, you look around, you see, like, there's so many people, where'd they all come from? And then you start pulling out the buckets, and it's like a bucket brigade putting out the fire. You're putting out the fire of their digestion by filling it up with khichdi. And all the people start sitting down in lines in the orchard. And it becomes, I mean, people just start streaming in from all over, from the forest, and then, you know, just it keeps coming, and before you know it, you probably fed about 25,000 people. So the devotees, one after another, they're queuing up. The fact that you bring your own bucket, you got a better chance of distributing. But,
and a spoon.
And a spoon, yes. Well, that's other bucket and a spoon.
Good idea, bring your own bucket.
Huh?
Good idea. We always run out. We're always short.
Yeah.
Even with hundreds of buckets.
Oh, you should sell spoons and buckets before they...
We all have buckets. This is good.
Maharaj, would you like to explain something about the festival tomorrow? Practical experience. How many people are here in Mayapur that haven't gone to the Shantipur festival? See, a lot of people haven't gone before.
Good. So sometimes the devotees start fighting or they want to do it again and again. But let, you know, take your turn and let everyone have their turn. It's unlimited opportunity. That's all. No. That's all.
Any other question?
Apart from Brahmin family, and he practicing the Vaishnava tradition until he accept Mother in the Puri as his guru. And he is very particular that person taking in the birth in Brahmin family cannot become Brahmin unless he observing the quality of it, what he said class. That is what we learn from Chaitanya Bhagavan Chaitanya Chaitanya. But why the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he introduced the tradition here in the birthplace, Mahaprabhu, birthplace, that the Adyat Kriya and Vishnu Kriya Lakshmi Kriya are the deity they are putting there. Only the person taking birth in Brahmin family and accepting the Vaishnava Guru, only they can worship the deity. Why it is that?
It's the first time we're hearing.
It is like that.
You ever heard that before?
It is that. It's still going on there. Sometimes it is come to my mind, but it's not.
Huh?
But I just go spin in my mind and why it is like.
But only that one particular deity?
No, only that particular temple only. That the main temple of Siddhanta Goswami.
The Yogpit temple?
Yes, main temple. Well,
Chaitanya Maharaj Yogpit temple.
Yogpit temple, not why it is like that. But I asked few sannyasi, but they don't giving any satisfactory answer. I asked similar question. When I just have to tell Adi that such a point is back to my mind, why did it happen?
This may be an internal thing that they're doing there. We never heard before that in that temple only the people born in a Brahmin family can worship that deity. Because in the rest of their temples, they don't follow them.
No, only that. I don't understand why.
We don't know whether where did Bhaktivinoda Thakur put that in writing somewhere?
I asked one Maharaj. He said that because Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami follows the same tradition what his father actually laid down, and we are following. But that is their answer. But I don't know what is actually inner point.
I could speculate something, but of course, I don't know whether it's true or not, but. We know that sometimes, like in Vrindavan, when we were establishing our deities there, we could have done our own installation ceremony. Like here in Mayapur, if we do our installation ceremony of the deity, like we install Ashtashakhi. But everyone will accept that. No one's going to say that they installed deity, therefore it's not acceptable. But in Vrindavan, when the Krishna Balaram temple first started, then if we were to install a deity, people may say, well, that deity is not a Sai deity or American or British deity or something. They may not accept. So Prabhupada brought the Brahmins from South India, the Bhattas from the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and they did a very big puja, 3 days with all the agamas and all the, all the formal pujas to install Krishna Balaram and Nitai Gora and Radhi Sham Lita Visakha. So that way all the pundits, they can say, well, it was installed by Brahmin and it's Pakka. So that way they won't criticize. So sometimes you have to do because of the people, what they're thinking, what kind of prejudice they might have to establish the faith in their mind. So for that, there might be some, if it's a true story what you're saying, there may be some background like that. But Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to establish this as the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. They didn't want people to find any fault. Maybe something like that, I don't know. But I'm just, I can't say because I don't know the actual reality. I did know that Vaishnava Acharya, sometimes they had to do different things in order to establish in a particular place to get the faith of the people. Yes? But we haven't been able to see that tilak of Madhavendra Puri. We see some artist interpretations. What actual? I don't know if any of the artists.
Madhvacharya.
The tilak we're wearing has been handed down by the 6 Goswamis and to Narottam Das Thakur. And Narottam Das Thakur, especially this tilak, Urda Pundra, the Shastra says the tilak has to go up. In South India, they fight over the tilak in the Sri Sampradaya, that whether the tilak should go round curve or whether it's a square curve, a square angle in the bottom. And there's 2 Sampradayas. And the elephants, when they go on procession, in the one sect of the Sri Sampradaya, they wear the round tilak, and the other one, they're wearing the square. And so the 2 elephants have the different tilaks, and there's a big thing about the tilak. So then they tried to make some kind of a compromise, so then they had the elephant had the 2 flaps, 2 different tilaks on the different flaps, different things like that. In our Sampradaya, you also find that there's a lot of different kinds of tilaks going around. In the Shyamananda Sampradaya in Orissa, they put the little dot because Shyamananda himself got a blessing from Radharani that put a dot on his forehead. So to all the followers of Shyamananda, put a dot there. I don't know whether that's bona fide, but it was bona fide with Shyamananda because his dot was given by Radharani. But whether it was bona fide for the others to do that or he told them to do it, I don't know. But you find the slight variations of tilak. But the particular tradition we follow is from Narottam Das Thakur, I've been told, that he said that this bottom part should be more or less in the shape of a tulasi leaf. And the upper part should be, of course, upper part is the 2 straight lines, more or less the width of your finger. So, I don't know about the width exactly, but that's the way Prabhupada taught us, and then we've heard that this is an Aratam Das Thakur line, because the bottom part is in the shape of a tulasi leaf. So we're following in that particular tradition. But even when we discussed with all the South Indian Pandits and the Sri Sampradaya or Madhva, they all say that the actual Shastra says Urdhva Pundra, as compared to the Shivites have these horizontal three lines, the Vaishnavas wear the rising line. So we are following what's been handed down in our disciplic succession from the six Goswamis, Narottam Das Thakur. So this is a tilak that we know that Krishna wears in Vrindavan. This is a Vrindavan kind of tilak that has been handed down by the Acharyas. But it's accepted by all the pundits that this is, as long as the two lines are going up and there's a little thing on your nose, that's a tilak, whether it's round, square, this or that. But we follow a particular line from Narottam Das. How it came from Madhva to Madhava to Vendapuri and Lord Chaitanya, the whole history of tilak, this is a detailed kind of thing that some pundit could research and really, you know, enjoy in that kind of a detailed investigation. We have more kind of important tattvas to deal with rather than the history of tilak, but it's something that in the future I'm sure someone will get into. The whole history of tilak. Probably somebody got a PhD. It's the kind of thing that in the modern universities you get a PhD in religious studies for the whole historical morphology or morphology, what do you call it, the whole history of tilak or something. They get this the kind of thing you get a PhD for.
I have information.
Yes?
There was a book in the Vrindavan Research Institute. That's what it is. Some English guy did his PhD thesis in when you go to Vrindavan, you can try
to... You said that was
the Vrindavan Research Institute is right next to
it. So there you can find out all about how the tilak came to be. Where should I go? I have to look at it so I can answer these questions. But it's the kind of thing I was saying it facetiously, a lot of times you find these PhDs, they take up some particular detail and go deep into it, right? You know, a whole thesis on it and get a doctorate. But they miss the whole point of like surrendering to Krishna and actually spreading the Sankirtan movement or developing a devotion for Krishna. Instead they become like experts. They can tell you in 1846 and 1023, the tilak kind of changed this way and that way. But they can't, you know, when they actually say, well, do you believe in surrendering to Lord Chaitanya and taking up his mission or in Vaishnava philosophy? So, well, you know, I'm just a pundit, I'm a scholar, I just study these things. It's interesting. So, we don't want to get into jnana for jnana's sake. We want jnana or Vedanta for the sake of devotion to Krishna. Our end, jnana, should serve the end of knowing Krishna and being able to serve Him better. So these are all interesting points, but as long as we don't lose the perspective and actually really make sure that we achieve that goal of life, which is pure love for Krishna. Hare Krishna. What does it mean that Lord Chaitanya united the four sampradayas? In the room here, is there a Navadip Mahatyam? I got a Bengali here. Do you read Bengali script? A Navadip Mahatyam? Navadip Mahatyam? It's a white book. It's written out in English. Navadip Mahatyam, I wrote it myself. There it mentions in the last part of that book where Lord Nityananda is taking Sri Jeev to... When he went in the last part of the parikram into Rudra Dweep and Srimanta Dweep, Lord Chaitanya revealed Himself to Shankaracharya, to Vishnu Swami, to Ramanuja Swami, to Madhva Acharya, and to Nimbarka Acharya in different ways. Like when Ramanuja Acharya was in Jagannath Puri, it's famous that he wanted to change the whole deity worship. They have a special tantric, Vaishnava tantric type of special deity worship. And he wanted to change their system and make it a more like a formal Narayan type puja. And then it's known that Jagannath had thrown Ramanuja from Jagannath Puri to Kurmadesh. And there he found that the Kurma deity, which was being worshipped as a Shiva Linga, was actually a Vishnu deity. And he started the Kurma temple of Kurma worship as Kurma Dev Vishnu Deity. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that when Jagannath threw him, actually first he threw him to Navadvip. And here in Navadvip he met with Lord Chaitanya and got some special instruction. And then he was transferred over to Kurma Desh. Like that, somehow or another, different acharyas, they came here to Navadvip Dham. And they got special mercy. So in the pastime with Nimbarka Acharya, when Lord Chaitanya revealed himself to Nimbarka Acharya, he said that you're going to come as, I'm going to take your sampradaya, and all the sampradayas, and I'm going to unite them by taking the essence from each. So here he explains, Javayami Sankirtan Aramba Koribo, Tumade Amato Sar Niji Pocharibo. When I start my Sankirtan movement, I'm going to take the essence of your teachings and paste them myself. From Madhva Acharya, I'm going to take two essences. One is, I'm going to take Keval Advaita Nirasan, smashing the philosophy of monism, the first point. Yeah, Mayavad has to go. As long as Mayavad's there, bhakti doesn't come. So the first thing he's thinking for Madhva, Madhva was very active in smashing the impersonalist. So the first thing is to destroy this monistic Mayavad philosophy. The second thing, Madhva Acharya established a deity of worship of deity of Krishna, which is still going down in Udupi. He said that deity is eternal, it's not material, and that deity has to be worshipped. So this is the second point he's taking from Madhva, that the Krishna, deity of Krishna, is a transcendental reality that should be worshipped. So this worship of the deity as non-different from Krishna, as the presence of Krishna, that is the other thing he's taking from Madhva Acharya. From Ramanuja, he's also going to take two points. Ramanuja preached that one should have unadulterated devotion, that's called Ananya Bhakti, simply serving Vishnu. Like in India, you find in the puja room, sometimes they got Vishnu, Krishna, Rama, Shiva, Durga, Lakshmi, Kali, Ganesha. They got like a whole lineup. And then you say, how can we keep everyone? And they say, well, we don't know who's the supreme, so you put everyone in your boundary and get one of them right. It's kind of like a shotgun philosophy. That you have a shotgun that sprays out, you're bound to get the target with one of the shots. So they put everyone there because they don't know who's the supreme, so they figure that, or they think, well, they're all equal, or one of them will be the right one. But Ramanuja, he was very strict that Vishnu is the supreme, others are the servitors of Krishna, of Vishnu. So this singular devotion to Vishnu, that was preached by Ramanuja. That's very prominent in Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. He said, Akala Isha Krishna Arsava Vritta. Krishna is only Lord, everyone else is his servitor. This pure, unadulterated devotion is very obvious in Lord Chaitanya's teaching. So this was previously taught by Ramanuja. So Lord Chaitanya is giving credit for that to Ramanuja. Another thing that Ramanuja taught was to serve the devotees. So that's also very prominent in Lord Chaitanya's teaching. He even says, take the dust from the devotees' feet, take the remnants of their prasadam. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it mentions there's three things that can help devotion. Bhakta Padaraj, Bhakta Padajal, Bhakta Prasada Uchishta. Take the dust from the feet of the devotees, the water that washes their feet, and the remnants of their prasadam. These three things are very prominent helpful for the advancement of devotees. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole pastime of Kalidas used to go and collect the remnants of different devotees' prasadam. This showed that how Lord Chaitanya honored the service of devotees. And Jiva Goswami's Vishwa Vaishnava Raj Sabha, one of the main mandals, six mandals that he set up, well, the first one was to properly see that all Vaishnavas are worshipped, that they're respected and according to how much responsibility they have for the spiritual lives of other Vaishnavas. So this is all part of Lord Chaitanya's culture. This was previously established by Ramanuja, that the devotees should be served. So Lord, this is another essence taken. So those two essences are taken from Ramanuja. From Vishnu Swami, Sarvasva Bhav and Ragmarg are the two taken. Sarvasva means complete surrender. That the Lord is everything. I am the Lord is mine. And Ragmarg means spontaneous devotion. To serve the Lord spontaneously. This in the Pushti Marg, in the Vishnu Swami sect, they spontaneously serve the deity of Krishna, that he's one of the family members. You treat him with some spontaneous affection like you would your own child. So that is Ragamark, you're spontaneously serving the deity. That was taught by Vishnu Swami. So of course Lord Chaitanya develops on these things. They gave the principle. Lord Chaitanya takes that principle and expands it to the maximum. You'll find that he'll take a principle. Ragamark went up to Vatsalya Bhav and Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, and Lord Chaitanya Sampradaya goes up to Madhurya Bhav, Madhurya Rasa, or Gopi Bhav. So then from Nimbarka Acharya, he took the two essences, Radhik Asray. Do we follow in the footsteps of Radharani? That Radharani is our supreme shelter. We see the Guru as a confidential servitor of Radharani. And Gopi Bhav, like what Chaitanya said, the gopis in Vrindavan, their method of complete spontaneous devotion to Krishna was so super excellent. Even Krishna said, there's no way I can repay you. So that type of complete spontaneous surrender, whatever will please Krishna. That, in fact, the Tridandi Sannyas initiation, the secret mantra which is given, one of the meditations is to follow in the footsteps of the gopis in terms of the surrender and devotion. So this is one of the higher principles of Lord Chaitanya. He took this from Nimbarka Acharya. Taking shelter of Radharani as our supreme shelter, as the topmost sevak Bhagavan, and following in the footsteps of the gopis in terms of complete, doing whatever is pleasing to Krishna, and having Krishna's pleasure as the topmost priority or hope. So you can see, practically, the four sampradayas, essence was taken from each of them and put in Lord Chaitanya. The Lord Chaitanya includes all of them. Therefore, practically speaking, Lord Chaitanya philosophy has united all the essence of all the different Vaishnava philosophies. Is it clear? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Nityananda ki jai, Shantipur ki jai, Jai Sri Sri Hari Rama Sankirtan Mahajagya ki jai, Jai Radha Madhava Ashtashakti ki jai, Nitai Gopri Manandi.